Tribute.
I'm Brenda Dennehy.
I'm Julie Haynes.
And this is Left on Red.
Our guest today is Denise Phillips, entrepreneur and owner of the Voodoo's Hair and Palo brands.
Last month, Denise shared a terrifying experience during a family holiday to Istanbul that shook her to the core.
While she was on board the plane, a male stranger took a photo of her daughter, Beth.
And today, Denise is going to share that story with us all.
It's an episode that parents especially won't want to miss.
Okay, and I suppose, Denise, before we go into all that, tell us a bit about yourself.
About myself. So, I am a mother of two children. Mm. I had my daughter through IVF. Beth is now 9. Had 9 attempts before she came along, and she was a little frozen embryo. And then I got pregnant on Jude, and I only found out at 26 plus weeks. So basically, I've no lining in my womb. I've no ovulation without drugs. So he was just, he's nearly 3, and I'm still in shock that I have him. I honestly think it was immaculate conception for both of them. Because obviously Beth is IVF and then Jude, I just don't know where he came from.
It's wild.
It is, honestly, you know, I used to hear people say, I didn't know I was pregnant. And I'd be like, ah, seriously. I will never forget the moment I was lying there doing yoga and I literally seen a fist come through my stomach.
Oh my God.
And I just, I was like, I was just, like I said, I still look at him and think, where did you come from? There wasn't a moment in them 26 weeks that I had any inkling that I was pregnant.
Mm. It was crazy. And were you carrying on as normal in life?
Absolutely. I was taking pre-workouts. Obviously, going from IVF to not crossing the road sideways, not eating a fry or a takeaway, never mind anything else, to when I was the pregnancy on Jude, I was lifting weights. I was taking pre-workout every morning. I was eating fish. I was doing everything. Now, my husband says in hindsight, thank God, because he wouldn't have been able to actually go through another pregnancy with me because I was so extreme when I was pregnant on Beth. But yeah, it was crazy. And then, always like with me, there's a story. I got COVID at 39 weeks. So I gave birth to Jude with COVID. So it's been a roller coaster to become a mother, my pregnancies, and then obviously I have 4 salons now and a brand, Voodoo, which I think people kind of more know me more for. Mm. So yeah, the salons are Dublin, Kildare, Belfast and Carlow. We've just went into Shaw's department stores. And then Voodoo, sure, you girls work with Voodoo. It's my other little baby.
Oh, we love it. And come here, but you started Palo. How long ago did you start Palo?
So when I got pregnant on Beth, I left the company that I was working with.
Yeah.
And I set up at the side of my house. And when Beth was 9 months old, I opened on Newbridge Main Street. But what kind of happened with me was when I was doing IVF, I lost a lot of my hair. My hair fell out really rapidly, very quickly. And obviously I'm hairdressing since I'm 17 and I had nowhere to turn to. And I was like, if I've nowhere to turn to and I'm a qualified hairdresser, where are my clients turning when they've hair loss? So I sat about educating myself and I said, and you know what? I'm going to be a change within my industry because I'm a high achiever. So within the hairdressing industry, I was always, you know, top of everything. I was on the Redken artistic team. If there was something going, I wanted to be involved. I was never content with just being okay. And I worked in an amazing company, Peter Marks, so they always had opportunities for us to take. And when I was pregnant, obviously on Beth, then I set about educating myself on hair loss. So I quickly became known for hair loss. I went on social media, spoke about my hair loss, spoke about my IVF, spoke about how it was impacting my confidence as a hairdresser and as a woman. And I built a community within the hair industry. So I became a distributor for a really fine tea parting topper that can be taped on or clipped on. So I was the middle person helping salons, other stylists, getting this company from Denmark over. So people used to order through me. So I built a community of hair loss hairdressers that wanted to get into that area. But also now people were sending their clients to me when they didn't know anything about hair loss. So with that, we always used tools that were set at one temperature. And now my clientele had changed. My clients weren't able for a high heat temperature in their straightener. And everyone loves a straightener. It finishes their style. It keeps it in longer. So I got a contact from one of my friends and I looked in the US market to see what they were using, and they were using the infrared technology. It's much kinder to the scalp. It's a much better technology to use in your tools. And with the contact that Lisa gave me, I said, can you make me a straightener that has infrared technology, but it's heat adjustable? So it goes down to 120 degrees and right up to 230 degrees. Because you've got to remember, my clientele had completely changed. I was now dealing with clients who had severe hair loss, alopecia, brittle hair, chemically damaged hair. So I got it into the hands of my hair community, as in hairdressers, and they started to use it on their clients. So I had an order form of 500 straighteners before I'd even brought them into the country.
Wow.
And that's how Voodoo developed.
Wow.
So it literally just shot up. We have 50 SKUs now of hair care products. They're all made in a beautiful factory in Italy. It's such a luxurious brand. And we have 7 tools, some of which we have built the mold for. So it's something that myself and Brendan are really proud of. The whole company is based on influence marketing, which just absolutely shot for us through COVID. All the influencers got behind the brand. Some now still work for our brand, but a lot of them, when we hadn't got any money, they done it for us because they loved our tools.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it really genuine and like authentic within our brand, is a lot of our brand ambassadors have used it when we didn't have a revenue, when we weren't, you know, the fastest growing hair care and hair tool brand in Ireland. They used our tools and they're still with us to this day.
Me and Julie actually were saying, me and Julie would be the first ones to say we're not great at hair. Yeah. We said earlier there, your tools are the only ones we can actually curl our hair with.
Yeah, see,
they really are. Like,
if we
else,
can use them, anyone can use them.
The straightener is foolproof because I thought of kind of everything that my client use, what my client needs. So it has a curved edge. Mm. So it creates a curl. Creates a flick, it creates a Hollywood wave, it has the infrared technology, it's heat adjustable. I believe that once you use our straightener, you will never use another straightener. I feel it's our core product, it's our core tool, and it just converts people straight over. Is the really unique point of it is that it's heat adjustable. So people aren't just using 230 degrees all of the time on their hair.
Yeah, and just bring it back to hair loss. Since I had the twins, my hair, Denise, it's actually getting so thin and I have patches and stuff like that. Would you, and I know there's a lot of moms and women listening that would be in the same situation. What kind of tips and tricks would you give for that then?
Yeah, so like 1 in 4 women suffer with hair loss at some point. And it's great now because the PRSI grant came in last July into Ireland. So every single woman out there paying PRSI, or your husband is paying PRSI, you can claim it off your spouse. You are now entitled to a 500 grand once a year for your hair loss, like your teeth cleaning. And not everybody's aware of that.
Yeah.
So now in our salons, there's so much more education for women coming in because they couldn't spend money. They didn't feel like their hair loss was you know, a top priority within their household. So the tips and tricks that I give is, if your hair loss is sudden, definitely go to your GP and get your bloods checked.
Yeah.
Little tips and tricks that you can do without doing that, it'd be, as my mother says, drink your water and mind your business. Drink your water.
Yeah.
If you're not minding your business, you're not drinking enough water. Obviously, stress, huge impact. Yeah. Hormonal change, menopause, pregnancy, them kind of things we can't help. It's just trying to, you know, breath work, yoga, exercise, taking time for yourself, being kind to yourself, then obviously not using too much heat on your hair, chemical damage, not colouring your hair too much, satin pillowcase, tying your hair up at night, lukewarm water. I mean, I could keep on going on for so long, but the first and utmost tip is to actually get your bloods done.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And just bringing it back to that day you were in yoga and you seen the little fist.
I know.
What did you do?
I instantly knew it wasn't just a new pregnancy. I was like, there's a human being inside of me. I was actually down in Wexford and there was a backstory to that, but that's for another day because it's drama. But anyway, I went into Wexford town and I got a pregnancy test and I took it. And
were you on your own now taking
it? I was with Beth. With Beth.
How old was she then?
I think she was maybe 6, was she? Yeah. I actually, it was so weird because I sometimes even hate saying this. I was actually really obsessed because I had so many different emotions. I was so content. Obviously, we'd had failed IVFs after Beth. Mm. And during COVID, I came to the kind of, I was so happy. Mm. So happy with Beth. I was so happy in my relationship. Like, there'd been times when I wasn't happy in my relationship and I wasn't okay with just being a mother of one. But at this time, I was like, oh my God, I'm so content in my life right now. And then I was worried. I was like, am I pushing the boundaries now? Am I going to have, you know, a baby maybe that's not healthy? And I just, you know, the way your mind thinks all of these different things within a few minutes. Then I felt guilty for not being happy that I was pregnant again. And then I felt robbed of a pregnancy. There was so many different elements that I felt. I was like, oh, I'm after
losing. Did you find out there and then you were 26 and one of those pregnancy tests?
No. So I was in the middle of, I had, during COVID, I had been doing IVF.
Yeah.
And they had stopped all IVFs because of the immune suppressants. Like, your immunity was down, so they couldn't give us drugs. They'd literally cancelled cycles left, right and centre. So I was very much still involved with the clinic. Mm. So I rang Dr. Luda and I said, I'm after doing a pregnancy test. And she said, come in to me. So I went into her on Monday. And I have that all documented on my Instagram. So she scanned me in the normal scan room and she was like, we're in the wrong room. So she brought me into the internal scan because obviously she was like, this is the early scan.
Yeah.
And then she brought me into the other room and like the heartbeat was like boom, 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 boom. But I knew in my heart and soul that I was like, I wasn't under 12 weeks. Yeah. I just knew. Luda, so I got followed by Baby Makers for RTE and I had failed IVF live on television. So everyone knew that when I got scanned, no matter if it was day one or day 20 in the month, my womb looks the same. It's blank. There's no lining in my womb. People seen me get a grade A transfer and a failing. So I think people, it was such a shock to people because the nation had followed our story on television. And also, Luda said on television, if there was some person that I could say that would never get pregnant naturally, it would be Denise. She's like a science book. We've, like, every drug they tried on me didn't work. Anything that could go wrong went wrong. I overstimulated. I could never have a fresh transfer. Beth was frozen. She was the last embryo. Like, every single thing that could happen in an IVF cycle used to happen to me.
Yeah.
And it was unexplained. So I think because the backstory behind me, people knew that it was a shock, you know?
Well, especially that it wasn't IVF or IUI. It was just a normal ride. Like, and you got pregnant all that.
And Mark still says to this day, like, them dates don't match up. And I'm like, well, there's no one else I was with on. So
I was going to actually ask, can you remember when you conceived? No.
Like, literally, Mark was like, Denise, them dates, because...
Oh, geez, your relationship must be very healthy if you can't remember.
No, honest to God. But like, Mark's like, Denise, them dates didn't add up. And I'm like, well, it was 40, like, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Because with the actual dates that went back, I was actually in Wexford with my parents the weekend that I was supposed to have gotten pregnant. And I'm like, well, there's nobody else on. I haven't been with anyone since the day I got with you. So unfortunately, but like, thank God, because Mark was kind of like, Denise, I was away that weekend. You were in Kirklaw. And I was like, I know, but he's yours.
It's just mad. Like, how it's crazy. All works, isn't it?
But I even think it's crazy that I got pregnant on Beth. Honestly, like, every odd was stacked against me. And when people say, you know, that their babies are miracles, I do. I genuinely believe in miracles. I called Jude after St. Jude. He's the saint of hopeless cases. Because I thoroughly believe somebody sent my children to me. I don't know who it was. I don't know where they are, but I literally wake up every morning and say, thank you, God, for sending me my children, because I am so grateful. Like,
they're miracles. Absolutely. To say the least. Like, oh, what a story. So you had 9 failed IVFs, got pregnant on Beth through IVF, and then...
Two fails after Beth, and then Jude, natural.
And for anyone listening who's going through IVF, or we'll say who's told, look, there's no hope, would you still say, look, there's always hope?
There is always hope. And I hate saying that, because when you're going through IVF and you're following every single procedure, the money, the strain, it's easy for me to say because I'm a success.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a little bit hypocritical to say to somebody who's doing IVF, you know, hang in there, or, you know, it can happen. Because honestly, when you're in the darkest, deepest moments, if someone says that to you, you literally want to box them.
I know.
So yeah. Although I don't want to say that, I want you to look at my children and see that they are genuine miracles, and that, you know, that, yeah, it can happen.
I think as well, some people, if you're so into the IVF journey and then you're not getting pregnant and then you're watching someone who is pregnant, that must be very hard as well online, but you're following their journey, but it's not happening for you. That must be awfully hard.
It's so hard. And I actually say this all the time, like when you're going through IVF, so are your family.
Yeah.
So are your siblings, so are your parents, so are your friends. I remember my younger sister was pregnant and I actually get so upset thinking about that. She could not enjoy her pregnancy because her older sister was doing IVF. She literally will say to this day, like, I was afraid to say to you, look at my scan. This, you know, my baby's after kicking. I'm actually godmother to my godson, Harlan, and I actually feel so bad thinking back. I was a nightmare. My friends couldn't ring me to go out. You become a different person. So after IVF, you're actually learning to become another new version of yourself.
Yeah. You're nearly obsessed with it.
Oh my God. I had a timetable on my kitchen.
Yeah.
Like my husband, we times for sex.
Yeah.
We times for eating. Yeah. I remember saying to Mark when I got pregnant on Beth, I actually don't need you anymore. That's how engrossed I was to becoming a mother. I did not care for him, for my friends, for other people. All I cared about was me and my baby.
And with you, do you think because you were so content at that part of your life that you stopped stressing and stopped overthinking and you just enjoyed being with Mark and then all of a sudden you just felt pregnant? Do you think that's...
I genuinely do. I think that I became, for the first time in probably like 7 years, I actually became happy.
Yeah, you took your foot off the pedal a bit. You started to relax and then you just felt pregnant.
Yeah, because like you said, you get so engrossed. It's like anything. And a lot of the time with infertility, you don't tell people. So it's a very closed off, lonely journey. You feel guilty, ashamed. Well, this is what I felt, ashamed. I'm paying for something that should be natural. I'm going into a clinic with my head down, ashamed to make eye contact with another woman. I'm ashamed to my husband that I can't produce a baby naturally. I'm ashamed that I'm engrossed in becoming a mother. I was ashamed of spending money, excessive money. Like I had a debt of 20,000 euros when I became pregnant with Beth. I'm from a working class family. I was working in Peter Marks during the day and I was working in Clane College at night. I went to them and said, can I teach this 10-week course just to get money? My husband was a builder and he was doing Apache pizza deliveries at night. We were literally passing each other. He was too afraid to even say to me, I'm exhausted, I can't work anymore. Yeah. It's just such a lonely journey. And like I said, unless like your friends will say, well, what's next? And you're like, what's next?
Yeah.
Like it's such a hard... It's so hard for everybody involved. My mom used to be afraid to ring me. If she asked, if my friends asked me to go out, I'd be like, do you not know what day it is? It's you're putting drugs up you and in you. Like,
you're waiting for him to come home. You're like, okay, it's time now. Let's, you know, yeah.
I always say that. Lucky enough, my husband could perform.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If you can't, you have an hour window with IUI. And if they don't perform, that's gone. It's cancelled.
Oh, my God. When you were doing your IVF and your IUIs, I know, yeah. Did you always tell your family or friends? Was there ever a round you're like, I actually can't tell them anymore?
Yeah, some rounds I didn't let anybody know because, yeah, you would just go back to back. Because I had no periods, I could go back to back with my rounds. So a lot of the time with people, they're waiting on a period to come to start the round again. Because what the IVF drugs do is they shut down your system, like into a menopausal state, and the drugs control how they react. So the clinic is basically same when you're, how fast your eggs grow with the drugs, when you're ovulating. So with me, I have no periods, so they literally just used to go back to back.
They are literally miracle children, Beth and Jude, and they're so funny, that Beth.
She's mental.
She'll take over gorgeous. The world. She's just so, 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 I adore that girl. But speaking about Beth, you went on holidays a couple of weeks ago. Go on. So you went to Turkey, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went to Turkey. Yeah. So we went to Istanbul and then we flew to Cappadonia where the hot air balloons were. And yeah, I haven't spoken about this too much because I'm still in shock, girls. We were on the flight. And at the end of the flight, I went to give Beth her iPad to put away, packing up our stuff. So the plane has stopped and I'm standing up and I call Beth and I reach the iPad to her. So she's literally standing in the aisle, you know, where the cabin crew are. And there's a guy sitting down in front of me and he literally took a full blown picture of Beth. And I'm watching him take the picture of Beth. And I'm like, Is this happening? And there's nothing else in the picture, only her. And I'm like, sorry. So I'm standing up and there's people getting their bags out of the top cabins. The plane has stopped. And I'm like, sorry, you just took a picture of my daughter. And he's like, so he sent it on WhatsApp and he literally clicked off his WhatsApp. And I'm like, sorry, you just took a picture of my daughter. And he's like, no. I'm like, I seen you take a picture of my daughter. Can you delete my daughter's picture, please? And he goes, I said, like now. And he goes into his photo album and he goes, no, no, no picture. And I said, no, you took it on WhatsApp. And he went into his Instagram and I said, no, WhatsApp. So at this stage, there's a woman and man standing right beside me because I'm still like on my chair, you know, standing where my chair is. Yeah. So I called the cabin crew over. So there was commotion happening at this stage. I said, you took it on WhatsApp. So he opened up his WhatsApp and he went into his last message. And there was a picture of my daughter.
Oh my God.
I was like, can you delete the picture? So I didn't even get a screenshot, but the picture was up. So the cabin crew guy, he was standing there. So he's seen the picture of Beth and he was speaking in Turkish to this guy. And the couple in their 60s were also speaking to him in Turkish, like. And I was like, delete that picture of my child right now. At this stage, I can see Mark noticing, like, and what's going on? But I was too engrossed speaking to him. So he deleted the picture. So the cabin crew.
Was there any other pictures in that chat?
No.
Any messages? Was that like the first?
There was, I don't know if there was a message or a text before us. Yeah. I think there could have been, but she was the only picture. Like, as in he had to open the first message and there was just Beth. Like, I can actually see the picture of her. And I'm like, so the cabin crew contacted the cabin crew up the top and then they rang security. So when we get off the plane, the security are standing there. There's three of them. And they took me straight in. So he's still coming off the plane. So by the time we got into the building, they have him then. So I'm standing there with the three security and then he comes in. At this point, I didn't realise that they thought he was after taking the picture of me. So we're chatting there and we're talking. I'm like, he took the picture. It was on his WhatsApp. He's deleted the picture. And they were like, okay. And then after about 10 minutes, the police came. And Mark, Beth and Jude are inside of the baggage. They actually can't come back out to where we are.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But we can see them. There's clear doors. And after a few minutes, then the police realise, I was like, it was my daughter. She's 9. Like, I actually want to know. I was kind of getting more stressed at this time. I was like, I actually want to know why you were taking a picture of you, of her. What was the reason? And then the police were like, child. And I was like, yeah, it was my daughter. And they were like, it literally just, the whole scenario changed.
Yeah.
They confiscated his phone. They took the details of the WhatsApp. They rang the person that he WhatsApped.
I was going to say you didn't see the name of the person.
Yeah,
or anything
they
that
put
they
it into a computer system.
Okay.
They had the person's profile up.
Wow.
Did you see all this?
All this. I'm standing there and I'm like, wow. They're like really aggressively speaking now because he was pretty mute. He wasn't saying too much through the whole kind of instance. He was kind of like letting them have the phone, letting them read the messages, but he was very little conversation back to them. It was more so me. So at this time, then the police were like, so then they brought an interpreter in and they were like, this is very serious. We have his profile. We have his person. He was WhatsApping profile. I don't want to go into too much details, but
had they a history of something before?
The people weren't, they weren't dressed as, these were men, but on their WhatsApp profiles, they were dressed as other, whether they were drag queens okay, or whether they were just whatever. But there's been a follow-up on that and they took it so serious. Like, I actually was thinking, like, would that have happened in Ireland? I don't know if it would.
I know.
So I didn't want... I actually was didn't want to post anything while I was over there. I waited till I came back because I was genuinely afraid. While I was there, we were only in Capitonia for 3 days, but I was thinking to myself, like, are they going to find us?
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't have been able to enjoy it. Did you enjoy the holiday? Did you?
I was trying to play it down to my husband because, honestly, I actually thought that he was going to beat him up, first of all, in the airport. He's like, I'm not leaving this airport till I get my hands on him. I was like, we need to leave now.
But bring us back to the room. Was he just left go then?
No, I said after about, it was 40 minutes at this stage, I said, I'm going to have to go. Here's my contact details if you can contact me after this, because Mark and Beth and Jude were literally inside the doors.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a nice scenario. Like, the police were literally, like, they're armed. They were on top of him. They were taking no prisoners for him. It was full blown aggressiveness. Like, they weren't calm towards him.
And when they did get the files off, did they turn to you and say, okay, these lads here have...
The interpreter was like, this isn't a straightforward, Denise. This is very serious. And I was like, okay. They were like, you know, this isn't whether you want to go ahead with stuff now. This is them. This is security.
So do you think like they might have been involved in some kind of child abduction gang?
I don't know if it was that. Yeah. I don't know if there was other stuff.
And if I was in your shoes, like, of course you want to go ahead and do something. But then deep down you'd be like, but what if they come after me and my kids? And like, there's no right or wrong. And like, I'd be so frightened. Like,
when I realised that it was serious, I actually just wanted to get the hell out of the airport.
I want to get home. Like,
yeah. I was like, because that guy was with two other guys that were inside the doors as well, and they were standing there waiting. So there was Mark, Jude and Beth.
And his two buddies.
So I was like, at this stage, I was like, oh my God, am I after making things worse? Should I have said nothing? Mm. Should I just let him delete the photograph and get off the plane? Are they going to follow us? Then I was thinking, is Mark going to start beating them up? Yeah. Is he going to get arrested? I'm in a country like Capitonia is really small. Yeah. I was like, are they going to find us? Am I going to get home? Are they going to capture my daughter?
I was going to say, but did Beth know what was going on? Obviously, she probably heard you saying delete the picture.
Afterwards, Beth was like, why did they take my picture? And asking questions. I mean, she's 9. And anybody who knows Beth knows she's pretty streetwise.
Yeah.
She's not someone you could cod either. Like, And I speak really openly about safety. I came from a home where my parents speak very openly about everything. Drugs, sex, rock and roll. There was nothing that was out of bounds to speak about in my home, and I rear my kids the same. So I probably had to go into a little bit more depth, but I was just wanted to get through the 3 days and get home. I didn't even really want to talk about too much to Mark either, because I was frightened. And as a mother, I was trying to be like, am I after putting my family in jeopardy? Is this going to be my fault? And I also knew, even when I was speaking about it on social media, like, genuinely, people's concept is, you put yourself in these scenarios. I don't think that justifies or regulates any sort of bad behaviour on anyone's front because you put yourself online, or you might jeopardise your children's safety by putting them online. I still don't think that warrants.
No.
No.
In present, because Julie, people said to me afterwards, sure, it's no different to people screenshotting your child. Well, actually, in fact, in my opinion, I do think it's different.
Same, yeah.
Because at that moment, my child could be taken out of my hands.
I actually seen on TikTok, I think you shared a bit of the story, and somebody commented it and was like, well, you put her online anyway, so there's no difference. And I absolutely hate those men on that plane. Did not follow you on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. They sat there. Your man opened his WhatsApp and took a picture of your 9-year-old daughter. That is absolutely just frightening. It's frightening.
Lucas, it's really important to highlight the fact that by putting our children online, we are jeopardising their safety. That bit more than someone who keeps their child offline.
Mm.
And that's my job, and that's a choice that I make as a parent. And that's something that I'm going to have to accept if Beth doesn't like the parenting choices that I made. Does that warrant a stranger take a picture of my 9-year-old in a foreign country on a plane or anywhere? Absolutely not.
No.
And I think that we need to be able to stand our ground a little bit more on this front and say, actual fact, I don't warrant this behaviour because I put myself online. I feel sometimes that we shy away from sticking up for ourselves in fear of more judgment, of in fear of more backlash. But what about speaking about how in the world that we live in, there is so many scary scenarios happen. And how about we zone in and speak about them a little bit more? Speak about people going online and bullying, speaking really bad words towards other human beings. Everybody's entitled to an opinion.
Mm.
With manners. I have no problem with someone saying, I don't agree with you putting your children online. I totally respect that. I have friends, best friends, that don't put their children online. And I 1 million percent respect their decision. Like they respect my decision in my parenting to put my children online, which I haven't since the incident, because I am second thinking about things. It is making me look at things in a world that, in a way, in a world that I don't want to look at.
Yeah. Mm.
Why should we have to say, oh, I don't want to put Beth online in case somebody kidnaps her?
Yeah. Why do you have to change your behaviours for other people?
Honest to God. Mm. Another thing that somebody said to me, which I really actually want to highlight, is you exploit your children. Now, I'm going to be totally honest. If that's how you see it, then you're 100% right. I remember my father was a coal man and I worked in his coal yard as a 9-year-old child. And I remember grown women saying to my father, it's a disgrace. She's in that coal yard. That's disgraceful. I wanted to be there with my dad. Yeah. I come from a working family. It was normal to me to be in the coal yard, you know, on the pickups. They used to send, in actual fact, if my father is listening to this, you totally exploited me. He used to send me in to collect the coal money because people wouldn't answer the door to him because they'd see him coming. And he'd send me in, say, to collect the coal money. So maybe it's learned behaviour by me. Maybe I grew up in a world where I worked from a young age with my parents, and that's how I seen parenting. So it just literally happens with my children. A lot of the time, I'm a workaholic. So a lot of the time, if I want to have some little bit of balance, I bring Beth to events with me. She was standing behind an event last week up in Northern Ireland saying, cash your card.
She was
taking the money for Voodoo Stock. And I'm going to own that. I'm not going to shy away from that.
And plus, she enjoys it.
Well, I always say she enjoys it because she knows no different.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say she totally enjoys it. It's a learned behaviour that she knows no different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I did. I loved going on the pickup with my dad. I can childhood memories are him picking me up on the pickup on the coal truck, sitting with him with my Tato and my mineral and going on the run with him. And that was normal for me.
Yeah.
So I think just because something is normal for my children doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's right. But it doesn't mean it's wrong.
I often had Fionn and Erin Rose in here recording the podcast, didn't I? Yeah. Like, Erin Rose is part of the team. She was only here 2 weeks ago. But it's just, it's their normal.
Absolutely.
And I wonder as well, she hasn't been back online since. Do you think you'll be putting her back online?
Brenda, I'm weighing things up because when I told Beth that I was keeping her offline, she cried because, like that, it's the norm for her. I definitely think that I'm in talks. A few different kind of agencies and stuff have contacted me. Because Beth has never done ads like me, I've never done an ad on my social media. There's nothing wrong with doing an ad. But people have said to me, oh, you're exploiting her. Oh, you're making her do things. And I'm like, if that's people's thoughts, I may as well be doing ads with her. I may as well be putting by the money into a fund for her. So when she does come to me and give out to me for putting her online, I'll say, well, that bought your first car.
Absolutely, or that, yeah.
I don't know. I'm weighing things up, Brenda. I'd love to hear people's mannerly opinions on the situation. Is there people out there that had daughters at Beth's age? Did you put her online? Did you regret it? You know, did you get an agency? I'd love to hear people's thoughts and, you know.
And have you had people asking, where's Beth? Where's Beth?
Oh my God. People are like, please don't listen to them comments. We love seeing Beth. You've got to remember, nobody said anything about Beth when she was on Baby Makers on RTE. They knew her face from then. Nobody said anything. It's like sometimes people begrudge the influence marketing or social media content creators for making money from what they're doing. And they see Beth kind of in that slot or slotting in there. And maybe they feel like if she's slotting in there, that it's not right. I'm not sure. I'm still navigating it. But like I said, I would love to hear educated and mannerly advice on navigating that. For me, what do you think, Julie? Because I'm sure that you get asked all the time for the twins to do jobs.
I do, but I actually never heard of this agency. So I'm definitely going to get those details off you next. Because my thing, and what I was just going to say to you there about Beth is, Beth, like my Erin Rose and Fionn, they have a huge personality. Like I know Beth and I know Erin Rose are made for the camera. Erin Rose is going to be a week with a TikTok account or an Instagram account in another couple of years. So I'm building her a platform. She has a platform that she could take over from me. Like that. To their change the Instagram name from Twins to Meet You, Erin Rose Haynes or whatever the case may be. It's building them a platform for another couple of years. And it's a great job. Like, I love it. I love what I do.
Do you love it? The only thing that I'd be scared about is I don't get much bad comments.
Mm.
And when I see young girls getting the bad comments, I'm like, are we setting our children up for that sort? Because Beth is quite soft and kind. And I'm like, how, you know...
But I believe they're going to get it anyways. In school, they're going to be, like we all got bullied in school, they're going to get bullied then on TikTok. They're going to have their own little pages anyways with their friends. So surely little Mary in the class is going to text Erin Rose and be like, oh, I didn't like your shoes today. They're going to get it anyways.
Does anybody say anything to your kids now?
Not really. No, not to me anyways, because they know I'd go berserk. Yeah.
What do you think on
that? Well, of course, I'm going to make a bit of a joke here, but I bought a little dog, Winston. And I was giving him an Instagram account and I was like, I'm going to make money out of this fella. I swear. Yeah. And I was like, of course I was. Now, obviously, it's kind of dormant because I moved to London and my mom now minds him. But I bought that dog because I see a load of people with their dogs making a load of money.
Did you
Loads
buy the
of
dog
money.
To make an
No, I bought the dog because I wanted the dog. And then because I don't want children myself. So I was like, I want a little dog. And then I set up the Instagram account, Walkies at Winston. And then I was like, I'm going to get this fella to be doing like wearing little like... harnesses and everything and people did send me stuff. But you know what the thing is, then someone said to me the other day, I was actually at an event and they were like, are you, oh, and Brenda, she's an influencer. And I nearly stopped them to kind of go, oh no, no. And I was like, yeah, I am.
Because I think we such this dirty word with an influencer, and we, you know, Sabrina Hill, she speaks very highly of you, and
I love
you
have her too.
Sabrina said to us as well, she called herself straight out an influencer, and she was proud of it. There's all this dirty word that, oh, you're only an influencer.
And I don't. Then if so, like if I matched a guy on Tinder or anything, he'd be like, oh, what do you work as? I said marketing.
Marketing? Well, you do.
I said marketing. I was like, I just do a bit of marketing. He was like, oh yeah, very good. I can't say the word. Imagine influencer.
But isn't it a good thing? But you see, if
content creator.
Content creator is a new word now.
If someone says to me, Brenda, you influenced me, I'm going to have to mention running. No, we can mention it once on the podcast. You influenced me into running. I'm delighted to hear it. Yeah, Denise, stop banging on about it. I can mention it once in the podcast. But if someone said, you influenced me to go to rehab or give up the drink, I'd love that. And then if someone said, you influenced me there to buy the Voodoo's 4-in-1. Should I be delighted? I'd be like, use the code or whatever.
Hashtag twins.
Do you know,
hashtag BA, hashtag Ash.
I think everyone, it's not such a dirty word. It's good to influence. And I just think it's funny then, because when my dad died a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh my God, I'll have to wait more weeks now rather than going back to work to post anything. But that's work as well. It was grand me going into Good Morning Britain 2 weeks later. But then I was like, shit, no, I can't be putting anything up. So I think we need to be a bit more kind to people. And because some people, it's only their own main income. It's your main income.
Yeah.
I know you, like, you don't do ads, but obviously Voodoo's and Pale, they're like your main income, you know, because you not go online. If you had a big bereavement, you'd have to go and you're self-employed,
100%.
You know, so that's something that was just probably in the back of my head. But regarding kids and agencies, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would be all for it. What's the difference in that and taking, you know, these kind of pageants that people take their daughters growing up and they're winning the prize money? What's the difference?
Yeah. And especially that Erin Rose and Beth, when I see Beth on TikTok and stuff, they enjoy it. Do you know, like
Erin Rose,
anytime Erin Rose puts on a new dress, take a picture of me, post it now, Mom, she'd be awake for it, of course.
And their confidence is brilliant. And their one take, I'm like, it's easier to do content with Beth. When she comes up to Voodoo, the guys are like, Denise or Beth? Beth.
Yeah.
Because she'll get it in one take, whereas I'd be like,
yeah,
20.
Word vomit nearly, like, stop, let's go again. Whilst Beth and Erin Rose, like, done, dusted, like, Easy peasy. So anyways, look, you're home now, you're safe, and that's the main thing. And thank you so much for coming in to us, Denise.
Girls,
pleasure, Denise.
It's a pleasure.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Denise.
I love watching you grow. It's absolutely deadly. So well done to you.
Thank you, Denise. Bye. Thank you. For you.